Thank you. Don't mind me not having my shoes. It's just more comfortable. How is everyone? Good, good. Welcome to everyone who's new here. I'm Pastor Nami, if we haven't met. And yes, I don't have condolences is the word to our team, Arsenal. I'll try not to talk too much about it. I think it's all been said. So, welcome to C3 Kwinana, a place to belong, a place to be planted, and a place to become all that God has purposed. You know, worship, coming into a time of praise and worship is so important because it sets the atmosphere. It prepares us. It prepares our hearts because during the week we may have gone through all sorts of things. And when you come here, you may still be thinking about what happened during the week. And so praise and worship allows us to really fix our eyes on Jesus and slowly start to put behind the things that we're worried about, or at least put them at the feet of Christ. So, don't ever get bored or tired of praising and worshiping, because it is to help us kind of get into that space. So we've recently been talking about the harvest that is plentiful and the laborers that are few. And as we continue with our church mandate, which Pastor Stephen spoke about, of equipping disciples, remember that we're equipping disciples that are laborers, not just disciples, not just followers of Christ, but actually laborers in the field, ready to go into the harvest field. It's important to understand the value of being planted and remaining rooted in the house of God in helping to achieve that mandate. So we already know that people, when they feel cherished in the house of God, and when they have a sense of connection and belonging in a church, they are more likely to stay. So today I want to focus on the proposition that flourishing is what happens when people are planted. So the title of my message, if you're taking notes, is Planted to Flourish. Planted to flourish. I'm going to read from Psalm 92, verse 12 to 13, from the NIV. It says, "The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God." Verse 12 says, "The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon." So here we're given a picture in verse 12 and 13. We're given a picture of a palm tree and that of the cedar of Lebanon. The palm tree thrives in harsh climates. It remains productive and it bears fruit for many years to come. So it symbolizes resilience, vitality, and usefulness. That's the palm tree. The cedar of Lebanon was renowned for its strength, for its height, its durability, its majestic appearance. So it also symbolizes stability, endurance, and dignity. So both of these trees are evergreen, so year-round, evergreen, representing constant life and resilience in diverse conditions. So the message here of the psalmist is that those who live in faithful relationship with God, the righteous, develop an inner strength and spiritual vitality that enables them to endure and prosper despite difficult conditions. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. That's Psalm 92:13. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. A Bible commentary by Matthew Henry emphasizes the idea of being planted, not merely passing through the house of God. I don't know if you've ever had that experience of passing through the house of God. So this refers to those who are firmly established. God's worship, God's ordinances, fellowship with God's people are very important. So just as a tree flourishes when it's rooted in fertile soil, believers flourish when their lives are rooted in communion with God. Their spiritual vitality comes from God's presence rather than from worldly circumstances. I don't know about you, but I know over the years since I became a Christian, I've attended a number of churches. And for the most part, I have remained planted in those churches until I had to move town. There were, however, one or two where I left for various reasons. And more often than not, in those situations, I was not really connected. I had no sense of belonging, and I could not connect my sense of purpose to that church. So quite often I would leave. So the question I have is this. First question, are you planted? You know, just because you're attending church doesn't mean you're planted in the church. Are you planted? To help answer this question, there are certain characteristics that can point us to recognizing when someone is not truly planted. Now, I don't want you to just think about this in terms of other people. I would like you to think about it in terms of yourself. Number one, this is when someone is not truly planted. They attend but never truly connect. So they're present physically, but emotionally distant. They're unknown by the congregation, and they're unwilling to be known. And they tend to leave immediately after the service just to avoid relationship or just connecting with people. And there are several reasons. There are several valid reasons why people do that. Some personal, you know, some have to do with, you know, just experiences that they've had with churches in the past. Some have to do with just, you know, personalities. Some have to do with just sensitivities. Some have to do with just some people can't people. Do you know what I mean when I say people can't people? They just, it's too much being around people, right? So that's number one. They attend but never truly connect. Number two, to recognize people, someone who's not truly planted, they are easily uprooted. So they're offended quickly, and they leave whenever discomfort arises. So they're constantly moving from church to church, looking for the perfect church, the right church. So their commitment changes with emotions, and hard conversations make them withdraw. Now, the thing is, we bring ourselves to every environment that we go into. So if I leave one church and I go to another, I bring myself and all my stuff with me to that other church. And it's only a matter of time before the same thing, if it pops up, I will leave again. So they're easily uprooted. Number three, they resist accountability. So some people, they want inspiration without correction, and they avoid spiritual authority. They prefer independence over discipleship, and they tend to keep everyone at a safe emotional distance. You know, if you look at the way that, I'm just remembering even back home, some of the churches, the names that are given to churches quite often have to do with the message that that church carries or the mandate. And one of the ones that I remember, there's a church called Family of God. The church is the family of God. And when you think about what that means, in reality, if you really think about it, it means that the people that you are with in that church are actually your brothers and sisters. They may not be your biological brothers and sisters, but we are actually brothers and sisters. And therefore, it means we are to relate like we are brothers and sisters. Now, the problem is, if you hate your brother or your sister, you bring that with you. If you already have those issues with your siblings or with your family members, that's how you come. You come guarded, you come suspicious, and you interact in that way. But it is the family of God. So they resist accountability. So if I am with my brother or my sister, if Bert is my brother in Christ and he sees something and he points it out, if I'm somebody who's just wanting inspiration and he brings correction, then I'm not going to take that on board, right? But if I actually recognize that we are the family of God, we are accountable to each other, we are building together, then how I receive that is going to be different. The attitude with which I receive what he says is going to be different. Next, they isolate themselves. So people avoid vulnerability and they don't allow others to carry them in difficult seasons. Now, I think all of us here have gone through some difficult season in our lives. But for some people, when they're going through a difficult season, they just want to not involve other people. And, you know, you have that option, obviously. But some people hide their struggles behind masks. They fear intimacy. They fear community. And they fear just being seen. And those are patterns we've learned, right? We've learned just in our upbringing, in our experiences. And some of us have had traumas, so we've learned to just, you know, isolation is what we tend to do. Lastly, they are critical but not committed. So they're quick to critique the church, but they rarely contribute solutions. This is the one that really rubs me the wrong way. I think that if you are actually in an environment that is supposed to be the family of God and you see something that you think needs to be attended to or something that you're concerned about, the best thing is to actually bring it up, preferably with the leadership, not going whispering from one person to the other. Actually bring it up out of concern and actually come with a solution, because nothing comes from just criticizing. That does not build the house of God. It doesn't build the family of God. So a question to ponder is this for all of us. Am I truly planted? And if not, what is the main barrier? That's just something for you to reflect on. Am I truly planted? And if not, what is the main barrier? Is it connection, not finding people to connect with? Is it that I'm offended? Is it that I'm still carrying an offense from somewhere else and I'm projecting it to my current environment? Is it fear or is it something else? That's a question for all of us to ponder. So here's a few solutions of how to deal with that for yourself. If you are not planted, how to deal with that for yourself or how to help someone. Number one, give people a chance to know you. It really is important. Let people get to know you. Develop trust. It takes time to trust people. So just because we are all Christian or mostly all Christian, it doesn't mean that, you know, we are all trustworthy. Trust takes time, right? So develop trust, take time. Don't be pushy with shy or reserved people. Some people are just shy. Some people are introverts. They don't like hanging around with people. Some people don't like people, believe it or not. It's true. Just because they're in church, you're an introvert. Okay. But you like people? He likes people. All right. Some people are introverts. Some people don't like people. By the way, just because you don't like people doesn't mean you're a bad person. It actually happens. There is reasons why some people don't like people. So understand that. So don't be pushy with people. Don't label people and say, you know, they're being so unchristian, they're being so antisocial. Don't label people. Some people are just reserved. So just respect that space and give people time to get to know you and feel safe. Safety is such a big thing, right? Just because somebody is in church and smiling at you doesn't mean that they feel safe. And some people get triggered. Just you might remind them of somebody that they've had problems with. So we need to be really patient with people. But it's not just about what we need to do for other people. Even for yourself, understand that there are things that influence why you don't want to connect. But you have a responsibility to look into that. It's not just about sitting there and saying, oh, well, you know, I've got my reasons, so people have to understand. It goes both ways, right? We have to take responsibility. So let's say that you are planted, right? You look at all those things and say, actually, I am planted. The next question is, are you nourished? Are you nourished? You know, when people are planted, then they have an opportunity to be nourished, right? When you are planted, then you have an opportunity to be nourished. It's when people are nourished that their roots go deeper. Just because you're planted doesn't mean that your roots are deep. They can always go deeper for all of us. Now, nourishment describes, most commonly for food or drink, it describes, it provides, it's about provision of essential nutrients and substances that are needed for life, for growth, and for health. That's nourishment. So if we're going to be laborers, right, in the kingdom of God that remain focused on the harvest, then we need a place to be nourished. That's the power of the local church, right? That's why we come to church on a Sunday. You know, sometimes, you know, it's easy to just sit home and just go online. And there's nothing wrong with being online. You know, online church is a real useful thing. But there is something powerful about the local church, a place to come and be nourished, a place to come and build relationship, a place to build your character, the fruit of the Spirit, right? How do you learn to be patient if you don't encounter people who make you feel so impatient? If you don't encounter people who frustrate you? That's how the fruit is developed. So the church is like, you know, going to the fuel station, right? And getting, you know, checking that everything is in place. It's taking your car for your service. That's what the church is like, right? Check that everything is in place, put the fuel, and then you continue with the journey. It's a place to come and get refreshed. You should not leave church feeling worse than you came in. If that happens, there's a problem. You should, and it's not about saying you should leave church feeling excited, right? Extroverts like myself like to feel excited, but it's not about feeling excited. It's about feeling refreshed. It's about feeling refocused. It's about having your eyes fixed on Jesus. That's how you should leave church. So in order to have a nourished, life-giving, healthy, and growing church, there's certain essentials, right, nutrients we need to focus on as a church. Number one, we continue to put high emphasis on learning to remain in the presence of God. Reverence, Christ-centered worship. Psalm 84 verse 4 says, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Praise is powerful. Praise is not just for us. It's about God. Like I said before, it's about refocusing on Christ. We continue to put high emphasis on worship, remaining in the presence of God. Number two, sound biblical teaching. Sound biblical teaching is important. That's what's going to nourish us. It has to be both practical and transformational. Because ultimately, we want teaching that will help us, number one, think biblically. We want teaching that is going to help heal us emotionally, grow us spiritually, and help us to live wisely. That's the whole idea, and that's what we need from sound biblical teaching. Then we need love and belonging. Love and belonging. We're wanting to build a culture where people feel seen, where people feel welcomed. They feel missed when they're absent, and they just feel safe and encouraged. That's the kind of church we are building. Now, you may not always encounter that. I mean, I remember a situation where someone left church because they said that they said that nobody had spoken to them in church. Now, they were telling this to me, I think it was a week or so before they left. So they were explaining to me why they were leaving. And in my head, I was thinking, I remember having a 10-minute conversation with this particular person 2 weeks ago. But in their mind, nobody had spoken to them in church. Now, that's not to say that that doesn't happen in church. It does happen, right, where people feel like nobody is talking to them. But it's really important to understand that sometimes you will never really fully meet the needs of certain people, right? You can keep trying. On the other hand, it is important, especially if you've been in church for a long time, it's important that, you know, before the service, after the service, you don't just go and hang with your same group of people. Your friends, your family that you will see at other times. It's really important to pay attention to new people. Pay attention to people that you haven't really spoken to. It's very comfortable to talk to the people that you're used to. I know I've done it myself, but it's important to just be intentional about engaging with different people, especially new people, because we want people to have not a fake experience, but we want, if we really believe and we want to build a culture of friendliness and welcoming, then we all have to play a part. It's not just to the leaders or the pastors. It's for all of us because we are the family of God and we're all building, right? So that's love and belonging. And then we also, one of the nutrients, the essentials we want is consistent discipleship. And as we know, the theme for this year has been about discipleship. So we aim to help people grow through mentoring, through connect groups, leadership development. And right now we've got, I think, a few people in here and others in Fremantle are going through the academy, which is about building, developing upcoming leaders, you know. And then we have the team nights. There's opportunity for development there. Discipleship moves people from just attendance and spectatorship to transformation, to seeing themselves as sons and daughters, because that's what we are. We're sons and daughters. But discipleship is what it's going to take, and being open to it. And lastly, in terms of nourishment, opportunities to serve. People are nourished when they discover purpose through serving, right, in the church, developing their gifts, strengthening confidence. And that creates connection and matures our faith. But you have to be willing to step into those things. Sometimes we can spend years waiting for a sign from God to tell us to join a connect group or tell us to join the worship team. There's just some things that don't require God to come and tell us. They just require us to just use our brain that God has given us and recognize that sometimes fear is what's stopping us from actually stepping in. But I'll tell you this, the church needs you. You may not realize it. The church needs you, because quite often we've got the same group of people doing the same tasks over and over and over again. And they will keep doing it because they love the Lord and they want to build the house of God. But don't sit on your gift. Don't overthink what you can do. Don't think, oh, I don't know how to do that, so I'm not going to. I don't know how to deal with kids. I mean, unless you absolutely do not like working with the little people, right? Put your hand up. Just find out. It doesn't have to be every week. It can be once a month. It's according to your capacity. But the church does need you, right? So don't think that you're not needed. Just put your hand up and see what you can help with. So apart from making sure we are well nourished, we need to watch out for the other extreme of nourishment. I discovered when I was doing my research for this, I discovered this little phrase term that I hadn't heard before. It's called hidden hunger. We need to watch out for hidden hunger. And it's defined as when people eat enough calories, right, but they do not get the right vitamins. They look well fed, but their bodies are weak. So a church can suffer from this exact same problem. On the outside, the church looks amazing. The seats are full, the budget, big budget, lively music, fun activities, right? However, on the inside, the people are not growing. Now, nobody can tell from just looking at us whether we are growing spiritually or not. But people tend to look on the outside and make judgments, right? On the outside, people are not growing. No deep biblical teaching, no community connection, weak prayer lives, shallow faith that breaks easily. And what you'll have is a church that's full of activities, but it lacks true spiritual food. People leave Sunday service feeling happy, but their souls remain empty. We need to watch out for that. So the question to ponder is this: am I nourished, or do I have hidden hunger? I look the part, but my walk with the Lord is empty. It's dry. No real connection to anything or anyone. And look, I know that sometimes we have to drag ourselves to church. I know I've had times where I have to drag myself to church. It's like you have to have a chat with your mind. It's like you are going to church, whether you like it or not. You have to just drag yourself, right? Because you know that you're going to benefit from it. You know, it says that our flesh, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is what? Weak, right? So sometimes we have to drag, especially when you've had a long week with a... I mean, this week I was in the emergency department with my daughter and I was thinking, okay, so how's this going to work? Like, and I'm sure that a lot of us experience that. During the week you have chaos happen and you're still supposed to be in church on Sunday and doing stuff, right? You can relate, right? But it's important. It was interesting hearing what Donovan said about storms. And that when storms happen that you have to, I don't know what you said, but what did you say? Something, it's like, it's almost like you have to, this is me paraphrasing, you have to dig your heels in, right? When storms come, right? You said, you know, you're about to go for a conference or something and then the storms come. And I've always had that mindset. whenever something really like negative happens in my life, I take it as a sign that the devil doesn't want me to go to church. And then I dig my heels in. I remember falling on my way to a prayer meeting years ago in Port Hedland. I was right on my way to prayer meeting, like it was starting in 15 minutes. And of course, I went and hit my knee on the tow bar, and I went and hit my head and fell on the ground. And I got up. I was like, okay, this is a sign. The devil is up to something. I am going to church and I'm going to pray. I mean, that's just the way of looking at, that's just how I look at life. That's how I get through a lot of things, right? Any negative things that I have, I'm like, okay, well, I'm digging my heels in. Now, that's not to say that every negative thing that happens in your life is because the devil is trying to attack you, because sometimes we can go to the other extreme and blame the devil for everything. Some things are just our own foolish choices. It's not the devil. It's just us. And sometimes it's God building your character. It's not always the devil. It's not always us. Sometimes it's God doing something. All right. So am I nourished or do I have hidden hunger? I look the part, but my walk with the Lord is empty. It's dry. No real connection, right? So how to help someone who is in hidden hunger? How do you help someone who's in hidden hunger? They look the part. Well, help them join a connect group, or you join a connect group. That will take you. You know, a connect group is not necessarily sitting in a room. I mean, I enjoy it that way, but sitting in a room with a group of other people in someone's house, having cups of tea, you know, and just reading the Bible. It's not just that. Some connect groups, I know the men do, I don't know if they still do it, a fitness one, you know, where they go climb hills or something, right, Andrew? Go climb something. Yeah, there's one of those, right? There's different types. And you can always be creative around connect group. It's not about the activity. It's about the connection you're building. It's about helping each other, walking together. You're connecting. It's a life group. They call them life groups because you're doing life together, right? So that's one way to kind of help. Join a connect group. Start serving in the church. Invite someone over. Right? Invite someone over for, you know, a meal, a drink, catch up somewhere. Hang around after church. Don't just run off. Ask questions. If there are things that are happening in the church that you're not sure about or they're bothering you, ask someone. There's nothing wrong with asking questions. The Lord Jesus loved being asked questions and he loved answering questions, you know? Listen to someone. You know, give someone your time. Ask for prayer. Prayer is powerful. Don't be afraid to say, hey, can you please pray for me? Because there's some things that we go through in life that talking is not going to solve that, but prayer will. So lastly, I want to ask this question. Are you flourishing? Are you flourishing? We've talked about, are you planted? Are you nourished? Now, are you flourishing? Psalm 84, verse 10 to 11 says, better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. God plants us to flourish. Flourishing is the end result of nourishment, growing in a healthy, vigorous way, thriving and reaching your full potential. Flourishing is the fruit of remaining. God never intended his people to merely survive. We're not meant to just survive. We're meant to thrive. He desires healing, growth, fruitfulness. He desires that we impact the life of others. And ultimately that we reflect him and glorify him with our lives. That's ultimately what he wants. Flourishing means, it does not mean a life without hardship, by the way. Flourishing does not mean instant breakthroughs. And flourishing does not mean constant comfort. At any given time in this church, someone is dealing with some challenge, health issue, financial difficulty, grief and loss, parenting struggles, relationship tensions, unanswered or delayed answers to prayer at any given time. Flourishing, however, does mean peace in difficult times, difficult seasons. It means strength while you're carrying burdens. That's flourishing. It means hope while you're waiting. That's flourishing. It means fruitfulness despite adversity and becoming all that God has created you to be. So it doesn't always look the way we expect it. Sometimes flourishing looks like still trusting God through medical treatment, still worshiping while you're grieving, still showing up while you're exhausted. And I know a lot of us do have to do that. Still loving your child through difficult days, and still praying despite disappointment. Flourishing is going to look different each season. This is important to note, especially if you're currently going through a difficult time. Flourishing is going to look different. It's not always going to look loud. It's not always going to look energetic. It's not always going to look visible, or it's not always going to look like platform ministry. You know, sometimes people can look at you and you're up here and you're preaching, they think, oh, wow, they've got it going on. Things must be great for them. No, they're not great. It's always challenging. Like I told you, we were in the hospital this week, you know, and many people in here are constantly, even right now, dealing with something going on in their lives. But I think for a lot of us, we've been sold a lie in our Christian walk, that a sign that, you know, God is with you, a sign that you're flourishing is that everything is going well, you're not having challenges. That's not the truth. The truth is being able to remain in peace, to still say God is good, even when you don't have an answer to prayer. That is flourishing. So in my own life, I found that, you know, the churches where I felt connected through relationships with other members and with the purposes of God in my life is where I tended to be fruitful, and it's where I tended to see growth. And it's because each church had a role to play. And so as you are in this place today, I would like to challenge you to think through this. We know that people come and go. You're not always going to be in this church. You were not always in this church. And you'll probably be in a different church at some point in your life because people move on. But the question is, how are you viewing your time in this place, right? This season. So each church had a different role to play. In some churches, they set the foundation for me as a new Christian. Some taught me about the Christian community spirit and serving each other in the body of Christ. Some churches taught me about leadership, and they taught me about family and balance. Some taught me how to value connect groups and how to sit under sound, wise counsel, how to respect or understand authority that God has placed over my life. Some helped me to develop my own leadership and to develop my prayer life. Some helped me to step into God's assignment in my life. All of us, at any given time, there's an assignment. The church, your local church, helps you connect to that assignment. Being planted in connect groups, being connected to the body of Christ, meant I had access to certain things. I had access to encouragement to turn towards the Word of God during challenging times. I had access to correction if I was going the wrong way, wise counsel. I had access to being celebrated, well done, if I did something well. That's the value of being part of God's family, joining connect groups, serving, is that you have access to all these things that come with the body of Christ. Being planted allows you to become. We always say a place to belong, a place to be planted, and a place to become all that God has purpose for you. So my last question for you to ponder is this. Am I flourishing according to the way God causes me to flourish, which is peace, strength, hope, joy? Or am I stuck in thinking everything has to be perfect? Am I stuck in offense? Am I stuck in fear? I'll get you to just stand up as we finish. I just want to give people an opportunity first to have that very precious relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ if you haven't done it before, or if you have done it, but, you know, life's happened and you've kind of fallen away. So just start off with that prayer, and then I'll give people another opportunity to pray for the other issues I was talking about. So let's just close our eyes. I'm just going to pray. If you could just repeat with me as we pray this prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ. I know that Jesus is the Son of God. And I know that he died for my sins. Lord Jesus, please forgive me for my sins. Come into my life and take over. I commit my life to you all the days of my life. Amen. Now, with every eye closed, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, can I just see your hand? Because we want to kind of help you on this journey. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, was that a hand? Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Okay. Father, I just thank you for my sister back there. I'll get somebody to come in and give you some material. But I thank you, Lord, for her raising her hand. Lord, I thank you for that bold step that she has taken, Lord. Father, I thank you that heaven rejoices because of that choice she's made and the impact it's going to have, Father, not just for herself, but for her children that she brought today and for the rest of her family. History changes for her today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please, let's just give a hand for just that lady just raising a hand, because that is powerful. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Okay. Secondly, I just want to give people an opportunity. You know, you've listened to this message. I said a lot of things. You know, some of it might have gone in one ear and out the other, but whatever captured your heart, if there's something there that kind of stood out for you and you feel like you need prayer in that area, please take the opportunity to come up and the leaders will come and pray for you. Specifically, if you feel stuck, if you feel like you're not really planted, you feel like you're just kind of unsure, you're just kind of there, you're just kind of like coming and going, but you're not rooted, and it's because of fear or offense or whatever reason, if you feel that that is you, please do not miss this opportunity to just come and get prayer, because we want all to be rooted and to go, and for our roots to go deeper. So if you also feel like you're planted but that your roots are not deep and you don't even know what that looks like, take the opportunity to come and pray. So I'm just going to open the floor for people to come and get prayer. Let's get the band to just come as well. Thanks. Thank you. Please go ahead. Father, we just thank you, Lord. Lord, that your name is worthy. Church, let's just pray. Father, we just thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you that you are a faithful God. You're a God who hears our prayers. Father, we humbly come before you, Lord, this afternoon, Lord. We are people of faith. We are the family of God. We are the house of God, Lord. And I just said, and he says that your house shall be called a house of prayer. And so right now, Lord, we come to you in faith, believing that whatever situations we're dealing with, Lord, you've already heard us. I pray, Father, that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, Lord. I pray for the challenges that are in this house, oh God, Father. Nothing is impossible with you. You are the God of peace. You are the beginning and the end. Every situation, whether it's health issues, whether it's relationship issues, whether it's financial difficulties, whether it's identity confusion, Father, whatever issues that this house is dealing with, Father, we come to you, Lord, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, oh God. We stand believing that you are a God who works miracles, oh God. Right now, I come before you, Lord, and I just pray for everyone who's got sickness in their body right now, God. You are the God who heals. I pray, Father, for all those, Father, who are struggling with back pain, oh God, and any type of pain in their body, Lord. You are the God who heals, oh Lord. And so we stand in faith believing that you can heal them. You will heal them, oh God. I pray, Father, Lord Jesus, for those who are dealing with a spirit of depression right now, Lord, that you would come and you would just touch them, oh God, like only you can, oh God. I pray, Father, against anything that the enemy would whisper in them, Lord. I pray, Father, that people would know that you love them, oh God, that nothing can separate us from the love of God, and anything that the enemy tries to throw their way, Lord, I pray that they would stand in the authority you've given them, oh God, that they are the children of God, that they stand in authority, that they would call those things that are not as though they are, Lord. I thank you, Father, that you have given us authority to trample on snakes and on scorpions, oh God. Nothing can touch us, oh God. We only believe the word of the Lord in this season. Nothing that the enemy says is truth. So, Lord, may your people rise up in faith, believing that they are the children of God, that it is a privilege that we are called the children of God, that they would know that they've been given direct access to the Father. You don't have to wait for a pastor or a preacher to come and speak to God on your behalf. You have been given authority. You have the Holy Spirit in your life. And so right now I say, the church, may you stand up in the authority that you've been given to call those things that are not as though they are. Believe God. God loves you. God wants the best for you. And God will continue to protect you. In Jesus' name I pray. And all the church says, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you.